reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So Jesus addressed this parable to them. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." The Gospel of the Lord. Sunday we had that gospel describing how the Pharisees and the scribes, although they sat on Moses' seat, were not walking as Moses and the saints walked, that they were preaching but not practicing. And one of the most important things that they were totally missing on was the Lord's desire for mercy, not sacrifice. When Jesus was being merciful to the sinners around him, not just welcoming them, not just being nicknamed the friend of sinners, but actually communing with them, eating with them, they were complaining like crazy. So Jesus gave us three parables. The first about the lost sheep, the second about the lost coin, which was a marital coin. It was like losing a wedding ring because the woman was dressed with a band with 10 of those coins as symbolic of her having been married. And then finally, the lost son, whom we will have tomorrow. In each of these parables, it's not just the coin or the sheep or the person, as dramatic as those circumstances would be, but it's the joy in heaven or the joy in the Father that we should focus on most. We celebrated 2 days ago the Feast of All Saints, and Jesus talks about more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. That what the saints are doing now is not vegging out. The saints are not primarily just sort of sitting down on a celestial beach, letting the wind of the Holy Spirit blow through their hair in eternal sunshine. What the saints are doing, as St. Therese herself alluded to once, is trying to do good upon earth. And the greatest good that they seek to do on earth is to bring us to repentance, to bring us to holiness, to help us turn away from whatever is leading us away from the Lord and get back onto that narrow path that leads to life. This is always what gives them the greatest joy, because it is the path by which they will one day be able to welcome us into their eternal loving communion. That leads into the first reading from St. Paul today, one of that number who himself rejoices more for one person who was on the wrong road as he once was, but who came through Damascus onto the way of Calvary. None of us lives for oneself. None of us dies for oneself. If we live, we live for the Lord. If we die for the Lord. So whether we live or whether we die, Domini Sumus, we are the Lord's. It's important for us, if we wish to live for the Lord forever, that we die for the Lord, not just later, but But today, we die for the Lord each day precisely so that we might live for the Lord, precisely so that we might be totally His. I mentioned yesterday in the third of the three Masses for All Souls Day about a beautiful letter written by Cardinal Justin Regali 2 months ago, 2 days before he would retire as the Archbishop of Philadelphia. It was written to his priests, and it was an uplifting theme, he said. And that precise uplifting theme was about preparing for death, which he said is a challenging thing in our phobic society that doesn't want to spend 1 second dwelling on death. But he said, the greatest opportunity in our life is to prepare for death, that each day we're called to give of ourselves totally over to God in self-offering, to die to ourselves so that Christ might live, so that we, as St. Paul would say to the Galatians, we might be crucified with Christ, that the world be crucified us and us to the world, so that it is no longer even we who live, but Christ who lives in us, and that we live by faith in the Son of God who handed himself over for us and loves us. Cardinal Regali sketched out a path for us to be able to do it. He said, when we look at Christ's death, most of us misunderstand it. We look at Christ as the supreme victim, the one who was dragged by the Romans on the way to the cross. But Jesus, when he was talking about himself as the Good Shepherd, said, the Good Shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. I am the Good Shepherd. No one takes my life from me. I freely lay it down. And I have the power to lay it down and the power to take it up again. In the same way, he says, death shouldn't be approached by us as something against the grain, something in which some thief in the night comes and robs us of the life when we're least suspecting it. He said, in fact, it should be something for which we've prepared hundreds, thousands, tens of thousands of times in our morning offering when we get on up and we give of ourselves once again over to the Lord, asking for the grace to die to ourselves so that he can live. At the end of the day, when we, just as Jesus did, pray that psalm, Lord, into your hands I commend my spirit, we give of ourselves wholly and entirely to the Lord. That will bring about the reality that even if we should die suddenly in a car accident today, even if some freak act of nature should happen, we would have entrusted ourselves over and over and over and over and over and over and over with love to the Father, that we would not have been caught off guard because we would have been doing that every day. Cardinal Regali didn't cite the great spiritual classic, The Imitation of Christ by Thomas A. Kempis. But in there, Thomas A. Kempis gave us the spiritual counsel that formed so many saints. Live today as if you will die today. It's when we do that, because we may, that every day we'll come fully alive. We'll prioritize appropriately. We won't waste time on diversions like often we do. We'll give of ourselves wholly and entirely to the Lord in prayer as we ought to. We'll prepare very, very well. That's the secret. That's the conversion for which the saints in heaven are praying for us to make and to live. Today we celebrate the feast of a great saint, first male saint of this hemisphere, St. Martin de Porres, died in 1639. St. Martin was a mulatto who was more or less treated on the outskirts of society. He tried to become a Dominican, but at the time the Dominicans didn't take mulattoes into the order, so he was able to be just a Dominican tertiary at the time. But it didn't matter. He was a porter. He did lots of jobs around the Dominican convent, and he eventually developed this incredible love for all the sick, seeing in the sick Christ. One time he was caring for all of those with a contagious disease, and the superior upbraided him because a lot of the novices themselves were sick, and he was worried if they'd be catching these things from what St. Martin himself may have been carrying. And St. Martin very humbly knelt down before him and begged for forgiveness and instruction. He said, because I was unaware that the promise of the precept of obedience was more important than the precept of charity. Please forgive me. He was being totally candid, but his superior recognized that the precept of obedience didn't surpass the precept of charity, even though Martin was willing not to be charitable out of obedience. So the superior changed the order and allowed Martin to continue to do that. Why was Martin so attentive to the sick? Because he saw what often we don't see, that Christ is in each one of those sick brothers and sisters. And he tried to treat that sick brother and sister with love. Each day through his care of those for whom everyone else was running away from. Each day he was not living for himself, but living for the Lord, whom he would see in that disguise of the ill person. And at the end of his life, Martin would hear those words, Martin, I was ill and you cared for me. Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you since the foundation of the world. Let us ask through his intercession for that same grace, that grace of conversion to true love of all those whom the Lord in his goodness will entrust to us today.